The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Well, there goes the neighborhood. Welcome, everybody, on this February 24th, 2005, to the 116th edition of Dave's Gone By. The last episode in February, if you can believe it. Spring is less than a month away. I already have a spring in my step this evening. Not that you can see. You kind of have to imagine my foot bouncing up and down spring-like. Kind of hard to hear in my voice. I sort of have to talk like this, with my Adam's apple wobbling up and down in a biophysical, quasi-metaphorical, Catherine Hepburn says Norman the Loon style manifestation of spring. Or it could simply be palsy. But either way, I'm very glad you tuned in to Days Gone By tonight. It's on every Thursday night from 7 to 8 on AM 1240 WGBB and AM 1240 WGBB.com, live streaming on the web. And reruns of older episodes are played on the net at dfsxradio.com later tonight at 8 and 11. Just go to davesgoneby.com for all that info. But if you're familiar with the program, you'll know that a typical show is a mix of comedy, talk radio, and music. We like to have a balance of all three, though we can't always slice them up evenly, a third, a third, a third. Sometimes music takes the front seat, as we often have musical guests like Tom Paxton, or Chris Smither, or Neil Sedaka, or Housewives of Prozac. Sometimes I go for comedy, with an expanded News Gone By, or a sketch, or I find a child loitering on the street, and keep the mini-disc running while I viciously and sadistically beat the crap out of him. It's all good. But tonight, the emphasis is truly on talk. The amusement of an engaging anecdote. The release of a well-told joke. The comfort of a charming story. And the very human appeal of a voice conveying ideas, small truths, clever turns of phrase, and a personal connection over the airwaves and across the digital wires. So for the next hour, get ready for a talkie Dave's Gone By, featuring not one, two special guests. First of all, someone without whom I would not be on the radio today. Now, I know that's a cliche said by any entertainer who ever made believe he liked his agent, but no, this one is for real, because my guest tonight is my dad, Philip Lefkowitz, on the occasion of his 68th birthday, which was yesterday. Now, I've had my dad on the program before, talking about his life, his childhood, his years in the Air Force, meeting my mom, stories of my weird behavior as a kid. It's all in the archives of Days Gone By, which are preserved on CD, by the way. So if you want to hear those segments or any past episode of Days Gone By, just go to davesgoneby.com and you can buy a CD of pretty much any program we've done till now. And there's a list of who's been on the program and when, so you can pick and choose which episode you want. Anyway, that's all on the website. But tonight, the return of Dad. Not with more stories, but with jokes. Dad has always been enthusiastic about comedy, and he loves hearing and telling a good joke. A penchant, and let's face it, a sickness that he passed down to me. So for tonight, I asked my dad to come up with a half dozen or so jokes to tell, and we'll have kind of a mini birthday joke-a-thon. And then my second guest was actually on here last week, the unique and amazing Milwaukee folk singer Art Paul Schlosser. Art Paul is incredibly jovial and prolific. He's had about 15 albums out in 10 years. And he still sings on the streets of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, as well as in studios and being a painter and raising a family. So Art somehow found the time last week to talk about his latest projects. And we bantered about religion a little bit and basically had a very fun conversation. But we didn't have time for his story. Art Paul wrote a short story for children called The Treasure, a sad fable with a happy ending. Art wanted to share The Treasure with us on the show, but we ran out of time last week. I couldn't resist the opportunity to have an original Art Paul Schlosser creation debut on this program. So tonight, The Treasure on Dave's Gone By. Bring the kiddies, although be warned that other portions of the program might not be so kid-friendly. I mean, nothing R-rated, just our usual DGB-13, the Dave's Gone By equivalent of PG-13, though I can't vouch for the rating on my dad's jokes, FCC beware. And yes, one other segment on the show tonight, we do it every so often, and it's called Dave's Day. Nothing more or less than a day in my life. Sounds exciting already. No, but I hope you get a kick out of it. A couple of weeks ago, I was asked to be a radio expert. I wish I had echo on this thing, you know, deep booming echo for when I say, radio expert, at a media conference in Midtown Manhattan. And it was kind of a fun and weird experience, so I'd like to share that day with you. Dave's Day. A fitting title for the segment, since I'm Dave. Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, journalist, humorist, and smooth talker. And we shall begin our garrulous gabfest right after this.
WGBB, the place for you and me. We're one big family. And let me make one thing clear. There's so many shows to hear, like Joyce Keller, the radio psychic. Wednesdays, 11 p.m., she's one fine, uncanny chick. And then there's Mike Shamari's Instrumental Invasion. Thursdays at 8, it's Sweeping the Nation. And Fridays at 6, if you can't get a date, there's Bonnie D. Graham telling you how to mate. Saturday nights, the Mike and Jimmy Show. For rock and roll comedy, the place to go. And make sure to listen on Sundays, too. At 7 p.m., it's Joe Salzo's Worldview. So many programs on 1240 AM. If you had half a brain, you tune in to them. Yes, WGBB is the place to listen all week long. Joyce Keller, Wednesdays at 11. Mike Shamari with Smooth Jazz, Thursdays at 8. Long Island's Dating with Bonnie D. Graham, Friday nights at 6. Mikey and Jimmy, 5:30 on Saturday nights. And Politics on Worldview with Joe Saldo, Sundays at 7. So if you love Dave's Gone By, give these other shows a try. They serve your community. If you listen, you'll know why. They're groovy and that's no lie. Come on now.
Okay, listen to me. No, I mean, listen to me on compact disc, where bunches of past episodes of Dave's Gone By are yours to hear over and over again. Comedy sketches like the Baghdad Elections and Handyman Yoni, guests like Neil Sedaka and Karen Grassley, puns, politics, and punchlines, all just $14 a disc, shipping included. Visit davesgoneby.com for all the details, or call 516-295-1511 for me on CD. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, and here's a segment that I don't get to do very often. It's called Dave's Day. And there's various reasons why, but a lot of it is I don't generally have that many interesting days. I work a lot at the computer, and I write, and spend a lot of time at home or go to the theater, and then I talk about the theater, but it's fairly rare that I'll go out and have a really interesting and new experience to share on the radio with you. But I do have one tonight that I want to talk about, and it has to do with a magazine/company radio and television interview report. I'm not doing like a commercial or a plug for them, but I am going to talk a bit about them, and it's a very cool thing. Basically, they put out a guide every month or sometimes bi-monthly for people who are in the industry of radio and television, booking people who are looking for guests and people to talk to. So basically, you'll have authors and personalities and experts and stuff like that. They're essentially ads in this magazine, and then the magazine will be sent to hundreds of hosts of television and radio programs or booking people on those programs, and that's how they'll get ideas of whom to put on the show. I've been getting this magazine for a few months now. Most of the people at the radio station, WGBB, do as well. And then I got an email from them saying, well, Dave, you know, you've got this radio program, and, you know, you're on Long Island, which is fairly close to New York, and you're on the Internet. So, essentially, you're kind of a radio expert, which made me feel really, really good, because you know, it's nice to be taken seriously for something that I wanted to do all these years and just started doing seriously 2 years ago, and now somebody out there is taking me seriously beyond, obviously, my wonderful listeners, who I hope take me seriously except when I'm being not serious, which is most of the time. Anyway, got an email and said, would you like to be a radio expert in front of a panel and do a meet and greet with all these people from all over the country coming in who want to push their books, who are authors who've written diet books and lifestyle books and books about the tragedies that they've survived, and also cute, funny novelty sort of books and book ideas. I said, sure. They sent me all up. I get there. And just wanted to share with you some of the fun things that happened that day. It's not really any amazing, sick, or crazy anecdote, but there are a few amusing things that I thought you would enjoy that I share with you. We meet at the Pennsylvania Hotel, and it's a three-day weekend for most of these people. I mean, all the folks who are coming in are paying quite a bit of money to be there and to meet folks from, like, CNBC and the Tony Danza show and NPR and stations from around the country. So they're there, and there's waves of quote-unquote experts and booking people that they talk to. So those folks will be there for about 4 or 5 hours, then a new wave will come in, and this will go on for like 3 days, and there's seminars and panels. I get into this room upstairs at the Pennsylvania Hotel, and the first two people I see was my old program director from WGBB, who's now at another station, Joey, and she looks fine, and she's, you know, tickled pink and has been doing quite well, and Joyce Keller, who is the radio psychic that I promote here on the show, and she promotes my show. She's on Wednesday nights, I believe, from 11 to midnight on AM 1240 WGBB, and she's been on the air for about 15 years. She's one of the real veterans of the station. So it was like old home week. I was like, Joey, what are you doing here? Joyce, what are you doing? And, you know, shaking hands and also meeting some new people. I had a really interesting conversation with a fella from, I believe it was Atlanta or Alabama, but he was from the, I really should know this historically, because he gave me all this background, that he was among the students who were in that Brown versus Board of Education strike that shut down the school district for 5 years, and then he went on to do radio and all sorts of stuff. A really, really cool guy, and I hope to keep in touch with him. Anyway, we get a little prep from the folks at RTIR, and they say, you know, just go down there. It's kind of like speed dating for publicity. You know, you're not going to be talking to any of these people for more than 2 or 3 minutes. There's literally a timer on the table of how long these folks get to pitch their ideas to you. But before this, there's kind of this big seminar panel thing, which was really, really kind of wild. We go up the elevator, and then there's this giant conference room, and there are a few hundred people sitting there, and they parade us all in, all 20 of us, up, down from the back of the room to the front, and they're giving us a standing ovation, which is really, really creepy, because, A, we've done nothing. You know, and I come from the world of theater, and I see standing ovations fairly commonly for stuff that's pretty damn good, but not ovation-worthy, and I'll sit there, and I'll applaud while other people are, like, standing all around me, and, you know, I'll still feel a little weird while that's happening, and yet, as a critic, a theater critic, which I've been for more than two decades, I'll feel like, you know, I'm going to stand when I really feel like getting to my feet and honoring and celebrating the performance, but not just for a good performance, or certainly a mediocre one. And here we are, this group of us, some of us, a couple people well-known, most of us pretty important in the field, and then lesser people like me, who have just been in the field for a little bit and are slowly growing in importance, you know, in our little niche way. And suddenly, like, there's 100 people, like, standing and looking at us as we parade by. And I almost broke into a run at that point out the door, just like, dude, this is going to be a little strange. And they get us up on these two platforms, like row 10 each, in front of these microphones with signs in front of us of who we are. I mean, it was a really professionally done thing. I was impressed. And the moderator asks, I think it was Steve Harrison, who runs the business, asks a couple of questions. And the first one, he starts off on kind of a negative note. What is the biggest mistake, or what are some of the mistakes that people and authors make when they're pitching ideas to you? I mean, what are the things that they're doing wrong? So that's the first question that goes around, and everybody kind of has a chance to answer it very quickly. And then he asks one more question, or a couple more answers, and then that's it. It's like there's 20 people up there with about 20 minutes to do this whole conference thing, which I found rather ridiculous. I didn't even get to say anything, and I felt a little embarrassed. I mean, I would have been nervous to talk in that situation in front of all those people, and especially with the other people on the panel being a lot more experienced and perhaps competent than I am. And yet, I felt like, well, they gave me soda, and they're paying me, and they got me here, and here I am, and I don't even get to say anything. But I did earn my keep that day, because after that big overall panel, then we're taken to another room and given individual cubicles. No walls or anything like that, but sort of individual sections where each person is with a big sign on the window of who we are and a sign-up sheet for people who wanted specifically to pitch to, like, the woman from CNBC or, some guy from a radio station down south, etc. I get there, and I'm kind of jazzed. I'm going to meet all these people, and then it's kind of, I'm a little nervous. And then I look down at the sheet, and I see that there's three people who have signed up to talk to me. Meanwhile, as soon as all the folks in the audience came in, half of them streamed to the CNBC, and then to, like, the major network folks. And the guy next to me, I didn't feel so bad, because he had been at a previous conference, and he was booked solid that time, and, his list went down about 30 names. And this time it was empty. He had figured because he was supposed to be on a different day and then he got moved or whatever it was, but I suddenly felt like, okay, I'm not the only lox here whom people don't want to deal with. And I blame myself. I mean, I put my portrait in my biography and of what I was looking for, very specifically that I was kind of looking for humorous topics, comedy, offbeat, or music, or the arts, cinema, theater, people who've written books about that, which I find the most interesting. Well, very few people, unfortunately, at this conference did. And so I was warned even sort of before it all started, it's like, well, no, you're not going to get a lot of folks here who've written books about Hitchcock or Louis Malle or folks who are profiling Van Morrison or anything like that. You're more likely to get lose 30 pounds in 4 days kinds of books. But I was like, okay, you never know. And the way I do this show, and what I should have made clearer in the bio, is that I can talk to anybody as long as they're willing to play along and be amusing and be fun and let me do my thing. And that has worked with all kinds of guests on this program. Usually, yes, I go for music or I go for comedy, but folks who've heard this show know I can do a fairly serious interview, or I can go completely off the beam, or I can send the rabbi, as I did last week, to do some of the more goofy things. But anyway, I did talk to a lot more than three people at this conference. I mean, there were three people on the sheet, but I people were steered my way, or they just sort of wandered, and they saw me, and they said, oh, what's your show about? I'm like, well, didn't you read the thing? But I told them, and I said, it's this, it's comedy, it's talk radio, and as they would be turning away, because they think, well, you're probably not necessarily going to be, and I'm like, well, you never know. And they were kind of right, because most of the time I'm not going to be interested in somebody's diet book. I'm not going to be interested for the auspices of this program about, how to leave a living will kind of thing. I did tell them that the show is 1 hour long every week. If I had, say, 2 hours a day that I had to fill, my God, I would be, going downstairs and asking a homeless person to come on for 10 minutes just to fill the airtime. But when you have as little time as I do and I'm trying to do different things with it, I do tend to pick and choose very carefully. But I still, I grabbed a zillion press releases, and what's really interesting, and I sort of expected this, is we were in the room for about 3.5 hours. And towards that last 20 minutes, the strangest ones came by. I mean, there were some interesting folks all the way through. I mean, there was a guy who had a story about how he nearly euthanized his own mother, intentionally. Not a happy story, and he told it pretty well. I mean, he had his pitch down. She had been dying and in pain, and he ended up making up his mind that he's going to find out how to do this. He was going to hold a pillow over his mother's face so she would finally be at peace. And I told him, it's okay, you know, I'm totally pro-Kevorkian, and I can do a segment like that as long as you can be sort of funny without being nasty making fun. And he was totally cool. Although he got lucky, in a sense. He gave himself exactly 7 days from when he made the decision that if his mother still was alive at the end of that period, he would physically go and euthanize her, whatever the consequences. And wouldn't you know, about like an hour before he would have had to go over and help her snuff it, she kicked. And he didn't have to deal with it, but he wrote a book about the experience anyway. And he's a Long Islander, and I may have him on the show. He was pretty interesting. But, you know, he was towards the end, and then I got, like, the guy with a dating book about, you know, a good kind of positive dating. And I noticed on the side of the book that the publisher was holiness.com. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, well, what's that all about? And he said, it's about semi-religious affiliation. And then he wouldn't talk about that again. He knew that was not the place to go with it. And then he went away. And, like, I think it was the second to last guy was this fella with sort of a nervous twitch and a wink. And I don't even remember what he was pushing, but I do remember that at some point the topic came up, and remember, we're only talking for about 2 minutes here, that he had spent years and was still on psychotropic drugs that were helping stabilize him, because he had terrible manic and almost psychotic attacks, which made me feel real good to meet this fella. And, in fact, the best story that he told, and I don't even think this was in his book, but that he, at one point, was under the impression that he was a policeman. And he was driving along, and he got angry at the car in front of him. This woman was driving a car with an exhaust pipe that was really shooting off horrible black blech. And he pulled her over to the side of the road and asked for her license and registration, which she gave him. And happily, I mean, either she was okay, or, you know, he realized he didn't have to arrest her or anything, because he might have. And remember, this is not a policeman. This is just a psychotic. So, and we've been hearing, especially recently, these stories of these fake cops going around. So he was kind of different, you know. And the one thing, the one disappointment of the day, there was one girl who actually had her name on my list. And everybody was kind of pointing her out because she was blonde and kind of hot. You know, and she was wearing, like, a short skirt and, you know, nice legs, really, and someone you would notice. And the guy who was the moderator over my area was saying, oh, you know, she's pushing this sex diet book. It would be perfect for you. And I was like, yes, it would. Bring her over. And yet, she never made it over to my area. It was like the curse of the short Jewish man. Here's, you know, a babe that at least I get to talk to for about 2.5-3 minutes, even if I'm not probably going to have this person on my show, because I know I could goof on, you know, the idea of a sex diet, whatever the hell that is. But no, she stood online for like 30 minutes at CNBC, so maybe you'll see her on there. But she didn't make it to me, so to hell with her. You know, it's a celibacy diet for me. But all in all, I just wanted to tell the stories of what happened on that day. I had a wonderful time, actually an exhausting time, and I do hope I'm asked back by the RTIR people. So I want to give them a small plug. You can go to RTIR.com and find out about it. So if you have, excuse me, you have a book or a magazine or like one guy was pushing DVD things where kids could surf the internet, and not only was it a safe search for kids, but the whole template, instead of their seeing, like, Yahoo as their sign-on screen, or whatever it is, they'd have a SpongeBob sign-on screen, or the next Shrek movie, something like that. And you know, the icons were different, and really cool idea, that kind of stuff. Check out RTIR.com, see if you want to, you know, get into their book. I want to remind you folks also that if you have a book or CD or something like that, and you're interested, perhaps, in being on this show, the chances are not very good. But you never know. So the best way to get in touch with me is through my website, davesgoneby.com. Find out more about the show and then email me at davesgoneby@AOL.com. Or better yet, you can snail mail me press materials. If you have the book, send the book. Don't send like a little pricey if you have it, or a disc or whatever it is. You know, if I'm going to be interested, I want to pick it up and read it and skim it right there. And the address is Gabe's Gone By, care of Total Theater, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557. I'll read that again. Gabe's Gone By, care of Total Theater, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, H-E-W-L-E-T-T, New York, 11557-0062. Or again, you can email me at davesgoneby@AOL.com. So thank you again to RTIR, and we'll go back to more of regular Dave's Gone By as we finish this segment of Dave's Day in a little bit. Dave's Gone By listeners know I love a good play on words, but let me say a good word on plays, my plays, collected in a lovely book called Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. Comedies that range from strange to deranged, from sad to satirical, fun to read, and unmistakably Dave. Just $20 hardcover, $12 soft. Put down that crappy bestseller and pick up some laughs. 516-295-1511 or davesgoneby.com. Jimmy, did you go home and write 1,000 times, I will not disturb the class?
Here, Mrs. Bitchbarb.
Psst, Jimmy, you were playing softball last night. How'd you do it?
Easy. I went to Hewlett Minuteman Press and made copies.
Hewlett Minuteman Press?
1315 Broadway. They're copying everything at a great price. I could have even had it bound and laminated.
Jimmy?
Yes, Mrs. Bitchfarb.
Look what I found. A receipt. Uh-oh. Here's your change.
Ow! 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 Ow!
Hi, this is Phil Lefkowitz, Dave's father, coming to you on Dave's Gone By on WGBB 1240 AM.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB in Freeport, New York, and live streaming on the web, courtesy of davesgoneby.com, and a link to a whole bunch of places to listen to us on the internet. And now, very, very special guest, a guest without whom I would not be here or anywhere, because, you know, he basically manufactured several billion sperm, and I was one of them, and managed to find the egg in my mama. A wonderful woman named Brenda, who married a fellow named Philip.
Amen.
And they've been together for, what is it, 42, 43 years? Or how much is it now?
43 years.
43 years?
And counting.
Gesundt and mazel, and then thank God, I have with me on the phone my one and only dad, Philip Lefkowitz. Hi, Dad.
Hey, that name sounds familiar.
It should. It should. And Dad recently celebrated his birthday on February 23rd, so I wanted to get him back on the air. He's been on a couple of times, usually to celebrate Father's Day or birthdays or something like that. So where are you at now? You're now 60, what is it? Yeah, okay. All right. Well, you were born in 38. 37, right?
Well, I'm 68.
68. Mazel, McGlick. And thank God you're doing well.
Well, thanks to your mother, I'm still going strong.
Knock wood. And then thanks to your own, I mean, yes, very much so to her, but also to your own thing. I mean, people who may not have heard your previous interviews may not know that as early or recently as 2 or 3 years ago, you were weighing about 270 pounds, you know, not walking very well because of various reasons and then wheelchair bound, which you still basically are. But you're not 270 pounds.
No, I'm 190.
You're 190, holding steady at that for a very, very long time.
And I don't go into the wheelchair until 6 o'clock in the evening.
Cool.
And up to that point, I use a walker.
So you're still managing with a walker.
Yes. Cool. Yes.
Excellent. And how?
So it's a combination of your mother's care and some therapy exercises I got from the therapist that was referred by the doctor.
And losing the weight and keeping the weight off. Was that, well, since you don't get exercise in the way most people would think of aerobic exercise or running or bicycling,
right.
What would you say? Was it diet or lowering salt or what?
Fear.
That would work. What was it, the 2,000-year-old man, fear is this great motivator?
Yes. And, you know, your mother raises an eyebrow.
Good point. Good. Well, that's what moms are for, you know. That's where we get the word momza from. Anyway, that's a rabbi joke. Anyway, speaking of rabbi jokes and jokes in general, what I wanted you to do this time, since you've been on the show before and we've talked about your childhood and we've talked about my childhood and you've talked about your years in the Air Force, so we've done a lot of the biography stuff, and even when you met my mom and that whole thing. So now it's time, one of the things that I inherited from you, and you no doubt inherited from Grandpa Sam, Sam Lefkowitz, and I'll bet he probably inherited from his dad, was...
Louis.
Grandpa Louis. I assume he had a sense of humor. Do you know?
I tell you the truth, I never knew that side of my grandfather.
Really?
He was always coming from shul or on his way to shul.
Oh. All right. Maybe he got from the grandmother then.
Well, he was working at Manischewitz.
I'm sure he had a lot of jokes about, or that he was telling after he had downed a few. Come home, open his coat, and there's like five bottles of you know, cherry tangerine Chablis.
No, what I remember getting from him mostly was matzah.
Oh, okay. You know, there's something funny about that anyway. I don't know why, but there just is. So, but somehow, some weird, ridiculous, sick, bizarre strain of humor ended up going into the Lefkowitz gene, passing its way through Grandpa Sam, who was very gentle, but had a great sense of humor, and then into you, who are, you know, sick and twisted and wretched and brutal and abusive.
Well, you perfected that part of me.
and then it went straight into the sewer with me. I mean, I was like an open, festering toilet in my crib.
Well, this was... No. I think it all started when you first heard Monty Python in the radio, in the car radio.
Or Dr. Demento and Python.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Demento on the radio.
But I must have had the humor. I mean, because people, you know, millions of people heard Dr. Demento and they don't become, you know, nuts.
Nuts like you.
Thank you. Thank you for thinking of the same word I was. But, yeah, no, it had to be there somewhere. And you had to enjoy it, too, or else you would have flipped the dial to, you know, country or something. So, anywho, one thing that I asked you to do for this segment was to tell some jokes. Since we both love comedy, we both love jokes. And although I tell humorous things and sometimes joke around on the show, it's very, very rare that I tell basic, old-fashioned, funny, hopefully funny, humorous things.
Hopefully, you're right.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. You know, I'm... While you're getting... Why don't you tell the first joke? I didn't bring my Ooga horn, which I should have, but I do have a comedy bell with me. So I'm going to grab the comedy bell, and while I'm doing that, why don't you start us off with a couple of the jokes that you brought in to share with us today.
Okay. Well, I had this one that I remembered about a fellow who went out and spent a couple hundred dollars on scuba gear.
Mm-hmm.
And he went swimming, and he goes down about 10 feet, and there's a guy with just a mask and fins. So he figures he's got to do better than that. So he goes down 20 feet. And there's the same guy with the mask and fins. So he goes down 30 feet. Still the same guy is with him. When they get down to 40 feet, he can't stand it anymore. He grabs the guy around the neck, drags him up to the surface, rips off the mask, says, "What the hell are you doing down there with just a mask and fins?" And the guy says, "Drowning."
Very cute. And that's worth one ring. Yeah, that's a good, nice one-ring joke. Very funny.
All right.
Next? Yeah.
Then there was the one about the girl who was walking down the street. I want to apologize to the female listeners in advance.
Oh, I have to do that every
Okay.
Okay, so this is going to be a horribly sexist and offensive joke.
Go,
I'm Dad.
So.
This is my father, ladies. Philip Lefkowitz. He lives in Hewlett, Long Island.
I got
phone
to
number.
Tell my son this part of me.
Okay,
It was inheritance in reverse.
All right, so woman's walking down the street.
Right.
And?
And a hen comes out of an alley, girl grabs her around the throat, and pulls her into the alley. Fellow.
Oh, that's something, yeah.
This fellow has his way with her.
Okay.
Now, while the guy is putting himself back together, she is lying on the ground, crying hysterically and carrying on to a fairly well. And he says, he's moved. He says, look, lady. He says, I know it's not a nice thing to be taken by a strange man. He says, but it's not the end of the world either. She says, but how do I go home and tell my family I was raped twice by a strange man? He says, but I only raped you once. She says, what's the matter? You're in a hurry?
Two rings. And thank you. We talked about this joke before. You were going to clean it up a little, and you did. And I think it worked. I think it was perfect. You only brought in the word rape towards the very end. When, you know, it had the shock value, but it wasn't disgusting early on.
Okay.
You know, early on, it was just sexual molestation, which is perfectly okay by me. All right, next joke.
Okay. There was this couple of Indians, a boy from one tribe and a girl from another tribe, on opposite sides of a large, large body of water. And he would paddle his canoe over to see her every day. And their love grew and grew and grew. And then one day there was this enormous storm. And it wiped out all the canoes in the brave's village. And he just missed his girl so. He couldn't wait. He had to try swimming all the way to see her.
Mm-hmm.
About halfway across the river, he got a cramp, and he drowned. And to commemorate this sacrifice of love, they named this body of water after this brave.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, people come, especially on Valentine's Day, from miles and miles around, just for a glimpse of Lake Stupid.
Ringing a half. Well, that was kind of too... Subtract a half a ring from that one. But that was cute. That's a very cute one. Yeah, but I understand, this is my father, folks, and so I've heard many of these jokes before. So if I'm not laughing raucously and hysterically, it may also be because I did the first time I heard them, you know, when I was 8. Especially the rape one. The rape one just left me in stitches when I was a toddler.
Right.
Rape! Okay. More and more jokes, more jokes, more humor.
All right. George W. Bush was passing through an airplane terminal, and he noticed an old man in a long white robe with a long white beard, long white hair, and carrying 2 stone tablets in his arms. He approached the man and asked reverently, "Aren't you Moses?" But the man wouldn't listen to him and continued walking. George asked him again, "Aren't you Moses?" The old man continued ignoring him, even turning his back on little Bush. George grabs the man's arm, looks him right in the eye, and says, "Answer me. Aren't you Moses?" The man replies, "I'm not saying a thing. The last time I spoke to a bush, I ended up roaming in the desert for 40 years.
Cute. Cute. You know, these are not like comedy. These are cute rings. I'm going to give you 3 cute rings on that.
Okay.
See, wasn't that cute? Very good. I like that one. That's very funny. Come on, a couple more.
A conductor was having a lot of trouble with a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
He constantly gave this guy personal attention and much advice, but his performance simply did not improve.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, before the whole orchestra, he said, "When a musician just can't handle his instrument and doesn't improve when given help, they take away the instrument, give him 2 sticks, and make him a drummer." A stage whisper was heard from the percussion section. "And if he can't handle even that, they take away one of his sticks and make him a conductor."
I'm sorry. You're cute. It's not ringable.
Really?
Nah, you thought that was really...
Yeah, I thought it was cute.
Okay. I'll give it half a cute ring. See, there you go.
All right, you can edit that one out.
Yeah, probably will. Okay. More. Like 1 or 2 more. And then
one day the first grade teacher was reading the story of Chicken Little to her class.
Mm-hmm.
She came to this part of the story where Chicken Little tried to warn the farmer. She read, "And so Chicken Little went up to the farmer and said, 'The sky is falling, the sky is falling.' The teacher paused, then asked the class, 'And what do you think the farmer said?'"
Yeah.
One little girl raised
right, hold, don't wait, laugh and then tell the punchline, or else we're just not going to hear it. So collect yourself.
All right.
Put the testicles back in the underwear.
One little girl raised her hand and said, I think he said, holy shit, what a talking chicken.
Okay. That one I kind of have to cut. Oh, I'm going to need that ooga horn.
Okay. I happen to like that one.
I know, but come on. You should know that you can't use that word.
I know. I'm just taking a shot.
Okay. We have time for one more joke.
All right.
I'll let you look for whatever other ones you've got.
A woman was out golfing one day when she hit her ball into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
She went to look for it and found a frog in a trap. The frog said to her, if you release me from this trap, I will grant you three wishes. The woman freed the frog, and he said, thank you, but I failed to mention that there was a condition to your wishes. Whatever you wish for, your husband will get 10 times more or better. The woman said, that would be okay. For her first wish, she wanted to be the most beautiful woman in the world. The frog warned her, you do realize that this will also make your husband the most handsome man in the world, an Adonis that women will flock to. The woman replied, that will be okay, because I will be the most beautiful woman in the world. So, Shazam, she's the most beautiful woman in the world. For her second wish, she wanted to be the richest woman in the world. The frog said, that will make your husband the richest man in the world, and he will be 10 times richer than you. The woman said, that will be okay, because what is mine is his, what is his is mine. Shazam, she's the richest woman in the world. The frog then inquired about her third wish, and she answered, I'd like a mild heart attack.
Oh, that is a 3.5-star one. Very well, the 3.5 rings on that from my dad telling jokes on this episode of Dave's Gone By. Before I let you go, Dad, I just want to say, you know, it's great as always to have you on the show. I want to wish you much health, of course, and happiness and love, and things are going well.
Yeah. I just want to end with a Jewish-type joke.
Okay. That's funny. You object to me doing the rabbi on the radio, but you want to tell a Jewish joke. Go ahead.
But it's not derogatory.
All right.
It really sums things up pretty well.
Okay. Here's a sum-up joke from Philip Lefkowitz, my father, my dad, on Dave's Gone By. Let's hear it, Dad.
Never has there been a word that constitutes a whole vocabulary more than the Yiddish oi. Whether it registers surprise, pain, relief, despair, or horror, the meaning varies from oi, I gained 5 pounds, to the IRS is auditing, oi vey. The vey adding more woe to the oi.
Okay.
A first cousin is nu, which connotes a frown, a sigh, a grin, or a sneer. Oi and nu together work like a dictionary. Oi, said Goldstein. Oi vey, said Stern. Nu, said Rosenblatt. At which point, Horowitz put on his coat. Listen, if you're talking politics, I'm leaving.
4 rings for my dad, Philip Lefkowitz. 1, 2, 3, 4. Love you, Dad. Love your mom, too, of course.
And many more years.
Thank you for, you know, having me and making me and watching over me all these years.
And thank you for giving me such a lovely daughter-in-law.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I birthed her myself. Puppies.
Oh, of course, the 2 dogs. Well, love you, and thanks for being in the neighborhood.
Thank you.
Do you know how easy and inexpensive it is to advertise on Dave's Gone By? You don't? Well, hey, it's even easier to find out. You can run a 30 or 60 second ad or sponsor one of the segments on this show or the whole show. Just go to our website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By, to see the rate sheet or call 516-295-1511. Bring your message to my audience, advertise on Dave's Gone By. What's playing on Broadway? I'll tell you what's playing on Broadway, and I'll do it by checking Performing Arts Insider. Off-Broadway, off-off-Broadway, off-off-off-Broadway. You keep adding offs, they'll keep adding listings. Who's in the cast? What's it about? Is it good? Can you bring the kids? Performing Arts Insider is the theater guide. Call 516-295-1511, 516-295-1511, or go to TotalTheater.com and click on Performing Arts Insider.
Hi, I'm Art Paul Slosher. Are you excited? I am. This is Dave's Gone By radio show. It's on 1240 AM on WGBB, Freeport, New York. And or maybe you're listening on DFSX. Hi, I'm Art Paul Slosher, and today, kids or grown-ups that feel like they are a kid, or anybody that's out there, I've got a story. It's called The Treasure. Once upon a while, when you didn't need TV to make you smile, there was a little boy who had a favorite toy. Are you thinking of your favorite toy? Or your friend's favorite toy? Now, this toy was so special, the boy took it everywhere. He took it to the old form of a shopping mall called the Market on the Square. He took it to play ball, and he took it to the zoo to see the bears. Growl! Growl! Sometimes he even slept with it. Oh, I'm sorry. I almost fell asleep there. This toy was so special. I am confident it was the toy he loved most of all. A treasure is something that is valuable to you. And to quote Jesus, and not to try to make anyone be Christian, he says, where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be. So, that might be why this boy was blue on July 23rd at 1 in the afternoon when the toy he treasured was missing. Oh, I feel sad. Oh. Well, he looked in his yard, and he looked in his house. Yes, he looked in the park with the funny slide mouse. Whee! You ever go on one of those weird slides? Yeah, he looked at the zoo with the grizzly bears. Rawr! And he looked around the square. What could he do? He looked everywhere. Yeah, he looked there, and he looked here. It wasn't on his special funny chair. Yes, he looked everywhere. So for a while, he was sad. Did you ever lose something really that you wanted so bad? It was hard to make him glad. All the time, every day, too. His life was like a musician playing the blues. There come the storm on Monday, Tuesday's twice as bad. But then one day it dawned on him. Maybe it was an inspiration. Maybe it was just a whim. But thinking to himself, he thought, wow. Why am I so caught in just this one toy my parents bought? I have other toys and friends too. I have other things I can do. So that was his day of liberation. That was the start of his freedom vacation. When he no longer had to have this one toy is when he found life was full of many joys. Don't put all your eggs in one small basket. They may not fit. Life is a cake. It takes many ingredients to make it. We need to enjoy all sorts of moments. Hot, cold, happy, sad, cloudy, sunny, dry, wet. The more you let go of things, the less you'll be upset. Yes, where your treasure is, your heart will be. So I hope yours is more than one toy. I hope yours is in many friends and family, and also lots of fun, good activities. And whether you have little or plenty, I hope you live for love and act heavenly. That's the end of my story, boys and girls, uncles and aunts, grandmas and grandpas, and whoever you are, wherever you are at, I hope it made you smile.
Art Paul Schlosser, ladies and gentlemen, with The Treasure. Thank you so much, Art Paul. That was great.
Thank you, too.
Is there anything better than an hour of Dave's Gone By? Yes, more hours of Dave's Gone By. After you finish listening to the show on Thursday nights, surf your web over to dfsxradio.com and hear a vintage episode of Dave's Gone By every Thursday at 8. And if you miss that, they replay it at 11 Eastern Standard Time. So remember, hear Dave's Gone By Thursday nights at 7 on GBB, and then hear older episodes on dfsxradio.com at 8 and 11 every Thursday. It's all the Dave you could ever want! Kinda. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. I hope you found a few moments to treasure in this Treasure Jest edition of the program. For a copy of the show on CD, just go to davesgoneby.com or send $14 check or money order to Total Theater, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. That is also the address to write me letters. Tell me what you think of the program. Tell me what you don't think of the program. Or be really creative and tell me what the program thinks of you. Either way, the address remains Dave's Gone By, care of Total Theater, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. That address is on my website, as is information about the CD, my book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, our fine sponsors, Hewlett Minuteman Press, for all your copying, printing, and sprinting needs, and Performing Arts Insider, the best of all Broadway guides. Special thanks to the best of all fathers, my father, Philip Lefkowitz, happy 68th birthday, Dad, and 168 more, and a joke for everyone. Two jokes, in fact, one from me, and one from my wonderful wife and my dad's beloved daughter-in-law, Joyce. Thanks also to my other great guest, Art Paul Schlosser. His children's story, The Treasure, isn't published yet, but you can certainly hear his songs and stories on CD. To find out more, just Google or Yahoo search Art Paul Schlosser, S-C-H-L-O-S-S-E-R, and that'll take you right to his various nooks and crannies on the net. Speaking of which, I've carved out another cranny-ish nook on this radio station, WGBB, which you can hear Thursday nights at 9. It's a show called Filler Up, an hour of music, usually honoring some singer or composer's birthday or grouping songs around a theme. Well, this week, we do both. George Harrison is on the birthday list, as are Fats Domino, Johnny Cash, and Harry Belafonte, plus a tribute to the late, great John Raitt, the original Billy Bigelow in Carousel. And he's the father of Bonnie Raitt, but I like him anyway. We will honor the passing of John Raitt tonight on Filler Up at 9, and if you stay with GBB from now till then, you'll hear Mike Shimeri's instrumental invasion of smooth jazz. If you surf on over to davesgoneby.com, you can hear a vintage episode of Dave's Gone By at 8 tonight, and also at 11, courtesy of DFSX Radio. All you gotta do is click the link on davesgoneby.com, and it'll bring you right there. This week's vintage episode is from May 2004 and features a supersized News Gone By, some thoughts on Tony Randall, and an incredibly tasteless sketch about American hostages in Iraq. Again, that's tonight at 8 and 11 on DFSX Radio, where the motto is comedy, amusement, and funny songs 24 hours a day. Ah, if only life were like that. But hey, if you start with 1 hour a week and build on that, who knows? Well, certainly Hunter S. Thompson didn't. I couldn't end the show without making a comment on that. Thompson, of course, ending his life with a shotgun last Sunday. I don't know what his deal was. Thompson was 67, not particularly old,
And I don't know if he went to the doctor recently and got some bad news, so he figured he'd want to burn out before fading away. Or maybe he tried to take an overdose first, but his body had such an immunity to drugs and alcohol at this point, he had to ingest an entire Duane Reade and half the peyote in Tijuana just to get a buzz on. I just hope he had a good reason for pulling the trigger, not merely, oh well, better now than later. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I interviewed another gonzo journalist on this program, Al Aronowitz, who was doing his off-the-wall thing 10 years before Hunter S. Thompson got into his own journal lunacy. And by his own admission, Al should have been a casualty long ago. He was a monumental substance abuser, and yet he cleaned himself up, stopped smoking everything from cigarettes on down. Al certainly suffers health problems now as a result of both age and living too close to the edge all those years. But he's also writing and editing like a madman, posting his old and new articles on the internet, compiling them into books. He wants to get it all down and out there while he still can. What could Hunter S. Thompson have written in the 5 years, 10 years, maybe 20 years he might have lasted if he'd stuck around? We'll never know. Now, I'm pro-euthanasia, and I do believe people have the right to kill themselves, even on a whim. It's your body. It's your life. But having the right, and actually being screwed up enough to use it, unless you're terminally ill or in chronic pain, etc., etc., but just taking a one-way ticket because it's a Sunday and your tooth hurts, I don't know. It's not the first stupid thing Hunter S. Thompson did in his crazy life, but it's the last. And that's my last word for this edition of Dave's Gone By. Be with us next week, Thursday night, March 3rd, 7 p.m., for episode 117, a very theatrical edition, featuring drama critic Charlie Gross talking about Good Vibrations, Brooklyn Boy, and more. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. Don't measure your leisure. Treasure your pleasure. And gone by.
Once upon a time you dressed so fine, do the bump of jime in your prime. Then you, people call, say beware doll, you're bound to fall, you thought they were off. I'm kidding you. You used to laugh about everybody that was hanging out. Now you don't talk so loud. Now you don't seem so proud about having to be scrounging your neck beyond. Yeah.